Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You're listening to A Slice of Cheese with Jenny Linford on Food FM. Savour the crunch of Peter's Yard sourdough crackers. Available at Tesco, Waitrose, Sainsbury's, Asda, Morrisons, Ocado, Amazon and specialist food retailers.
To find out more about Food FM and our content, go to foodfmradio.com.
Hello, welcome to A Slice of Cheese, the Food FM radio series that celebrates the world of cheese. I'm Jenny Linford, a food writer and cheese enthusiast, the author of Great British Cheeses. Cheese is a delicious and fascinating food, and we're setting out to explore this remarkable food and share the stories of the people who make, sell and love it. Wensleydale is one of Britain's famous territorial cheeses, made and eaten in Yorkshire for centuries. However, it's had a troubled history and come close to extinction a number of times. Excitingly, though, recent years have seen new farmhouse Wensleydales being made in the Yorkshire Dales. To learn about the story of Wensleydale, we talked to Andy Swinsko of the Courtyard Dairy in Yorkshire, David Lockwood, Managing Director of Neil's Yard Dairy, and Ben Spence of the Curlew Dairy, who, together with his wife Sam, is making a farmhouse Wensleydale cheese called Yourdale in the village of Wensley.
Online, on smart speakers and on Listen Again, this is Food FM.
This week on A Slice of Cheese, we're looking at Wensleydale, a cheese which has had a long and actually complicated history. And I'm very happy to have with me someone who knows a lot about it, a wonderful cheesemonger called Andy Swinsko from the Courtyard Dairy up in Yorkshire. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Jenny. How are you?
I'm very good. And I'm really looking forward to this conversation, Andy, because it's sort of a fascinating story. We need to have a sense of then and now. So I wondered if you could tell me what Wensleydale was like. I don't know, when you were a kid, you know, you were a Yorkshireman. Was it a cheese it's got a long history, hasn't it, of being a Yorkshire cheese, as the name makes clear, named after a place. Tell us about your memories of Wensleydale. Let's start there.
I always remember visiting Wensleydale Creamery when I was very young. And for some reason, I can remember going around there. They even had a visitor centre back in those days. And I can remember they had these bucket of curds that you could just dip your hands into and eat. And I always remember it really clearly, because it was just such a, you have these memories, don't you, of your childhood that then frame your reference for a long, long time afterwards. And then I bought a rubber, which we've still got on our desk, you know, and they've still got that rubber, you know, the Wensleydale Creamery branded rubber. And Wensleydale, it's such an iconic cheese to the north of England, but a cheese which has obviously had a very checkered past and almost disappeared quite a few times, actually. And for that, it's a really interesting story of something that is, for me, an iconic British cheese that is sold across the world. And has been about, you know, the monks that brought over and started making Wensleydale came across following William the Conqueror, you know, those, I think, what do they call it, the Revolution or the Dissolution or something. You know, William the Conqueror brought a lot of monks over and set them up in.
Yes, he did.
You know, all those famous abbeys, they were so good at making cheese and organising land and organising people and taking taxes and having lay brothers to make cheese. You know, this is a cheese which has been about made in this region for 1,000 years in a lot of various guises and forms throughout that, almost 1,000 years. But the key thing is, for the vast majority of it, was made on a farm level for me. And it's a cheese which we've almost lost a few times, which surprises me how you can have such an iconic cheese, you know.
Was one of those times, Andy, in World War II? Was it, because I know that had a massive impact, yeah.
So once upon a time up in the Dale, there was initially thousands of farms making cheese, or monasteries making cheese. And then what happened is, because the Dale is so remote, and the way that Wensleydale worked is that the farmers who were remote little farmers would make cheese, and throughout the year, the merchant men would come on with their horse and cart, and they would sell you your goods you needed, your coal, your flour. And at the end of the summer, they would come and collect all your cheeses as payment. You know, it was kind of an old-fashioned bargain system. And then the merchant men would then take those cheeses down to the cities and sell them. And you had hundreds of these farms making cheese like this. But what happened is, some farms are better than others, some farms are worse than others. And often the merchant men would make their way around, and they would get to a particular farm, and they'd given him all this good quality produce throughout the spring and the summer, and the cheese that he was collecting as payment was poor quality. And so it didn't really start to work. So what happened is the merchantmen decided, hang on, why? And when milk transportation got faster, we got cars and little faster methods of transport, they thought, hang on, why don't we collect the milk? So rather than collecting the cheese from the farms, we'll collect the milk and we'll make the cheese ourselves. And that is how the factory started. I know that this is when it comes to Wensleydale, there's no short answer from me, Jack, I'm afraid. That's how the factories started to be produced. They started to set up in the little villages, and there was many of them, from Dent to Sedbergh to Kirby Malzard to Hawes, which is probably the most famous now. And all these little factories made cheese. Now, what happened is it's not very efficient to make cheese in the Dales. You know, we are quite marginal land. And so these factories have always struggled, because we're not the glory lands of Herefordshire and Cheshire and Cheddar and Lancashire, where it's flat and it's rolling, you know, and you can get lots of cows and you can transport things over easily. So these factories have always struggled because they are trying to make a cheese in the middle of nowhere from quite challenging terrain. And so various periods, they've always almost gone bankrupt several times. And Hawes Creamery, which is the one that still exists today, they initially went bankrupt and we almost lost Wensleydale many, many years ago. There's a fabulous autobiography by a man called Kip Calvert. And he was one of the farmers supplying the creamery with milk. And he basically, they weren't paying their bills. And so he took control of the creamery with another few farms and made it a cooperative.
He was a remarkable man, wasn't he, Andy? I mean, a great figure.
I mean, yeah, if you get time, it's hard to find. He's written a few books. There was a little book on Wensleydale itself, but there's a book on his autobiography of his life, you know, and that for me is a real inspirational book on a man of that community. I mean, he was a force to be reckoned with, but often these people are, you know, these people who enact change and manage to keep things going and keep communities going are often forces to be reckoned with. You're with them or you're not. So, he kept that creamery. So that's when we almost lost Wensleydale the first time, because that creamery almost went. And then wartime rationing hit.
That was the 20s. Is that in the 20s or 30s? Andy?
Yeah, about 30s, I would think, about 1930s. Yeah. And then the wartime rationing hit. And wartime rationing, they didn't even want to put Wensleydale on the rationing list.
Basically, food production was such an issue, and it was centralised, and decisions were made which basically controlled. The government sort of just only allowed a very narrow range of hard cheeses. They wanted to make very hard cheeses to keep for sort of practical reasons, of trying to make sure people had food. But it had a massive consequence on Britain's cheese making.
As you covered, the Ministry of Food was set up to control food production in the UK. And one of the things that we're very good at producing in the UK, we have almost the perfect climate for, is making cheese. And it's something you can pretty much live off. And it's a great way of preserving something without refrigeration. But what they decided is certain cheeses were better than others to make. If you're talking about efficiencies, of production and stability of cheese so that it can be sold young and sold old, how easy it is to cut down, all those that you basically want to make a cheese which is fast to make, fast to mature, but that can also be kept, that doesn't take, is easy to cut, that doesn't have defects, that everybody likes. That's what they decided. That's the type of cheese we have to make. There's no point making these esoteric cheeses that have short shelf lives, that are difficult to cut. So things like Stilton and even Creamy Lancashire went. But Wensleydale at the time was evolving. There was a lot of still blue Wensleydale at that time, but there was a little bit of sheep's milk Wensleydale, and there's a lot of farmhouse Wensleydale. And farmhouse Wensleydale was made without the use of heat, was made without the use of commercial available cheesemaking techniques such as starter cultures and things like that. So it tended to be quite a moist, soft cheese, which would often blue and had a bounce to it and suppleness to it. It's still quite a young, fresh cheese. But that was not an efficient cheese to make and mature. So the government said, look, we don't want to make Wensleydale. And so Kit Calvert basically fought the corner for Wensleydale, went down to the government, got it in the newspapers, got it in the, you know, all these dairy farmers up here so that Wensleydale production wouldn't cease. But as part of that, they came up with regulations to make Wensleydale more efficient, to make it that slightly more drier, faster made, faster maturing cheese, which Wensleydale then evolved into. And also what you did is, because when you make cheese like that, you lose a little bit, the cheese becomes much more of a recipe than a character of a place. So you lose a little bit of that nuances you would get to farm cheese. So the farmers went, hang on, why are we making factory industrial cheese on a small scale? Doesn't make sense. We can't do it efficiently. So the farmers that were left and weren't selling their milk to factories pretty much stopped. And so we went from 1939, about 150 odd farmhouse cheesemakers in Wensleydale. There had been more in the other dales. And then by 1957, the last one had given up. And that's a farmhouse cheese that we made for almost 1,000 years that was gone. The creamery, Horse Creamery, did a fabulous job at keeping it alive as a cheese and as a brand, but in that modern style. And they, without them, I don't think we'd be having this discussion. It's very easy to talk about farmhouse cheese, but, you know, Wensleydale would have disappeared. But they kept alive a version of Wensleydale, which they still do to this day.
Yeah, and which, you know, which is very popular, isn't it? I mean, and so what's exciting for you, perhaps for you, well, definitely exciting for you, Andy, and exciting for me as someone who loves cheese, is that Wensleydale has had, there's sort of been new life breathed into the Wensleydale story quite recently. And you've played, you and other cheesemongers have played a great part in this, Andy. So tell us this, which goes back to what you were saying about there used to be farmhouse Wensleydale makers, and now there are again, aren't there? Which is very exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting because, you know, there was thousands of farmhouse Wensleydale makers, and each one of them would have made a character to their farm and a slightly different cheese. And when we shut up the Courtyard Dairy, we thought, what a shame it is that this is still an iconic British cheese that, again, almost disappeared in the 1990s when the British government was going to close the last Wensleydale factory in Hawes. But that was pretty much saved by Wallace and Gromit, which is another side avenue to the story, which I'm sure you may elaborate on.
Yes.
And just them using it in the way that they spoke meant that it got such popularity that it had a mini resurgence. But what we decided when we set up our cheese shop is, look, there wasn't any cheesemakers in the Dales. And I think when you talk about Wensleydale, you've got to talk about it with looking at the focus of the Yorkshire Dales. Or often a cheese takes a name from the place where it was sold. And Wensleydale was often sold at the big cheese market in Leyburn, which is in Wensleydale. But at Leyburn, they would have sold cheeses from throughout the Dales. And we've got loads of them up here. We've got Garsdale, Wharfdale, Bibblesdale. You know, I could list off thousands of Dales, Swaledale, you know. And what would happen is all the cheese from the Dales would be collated at Leyburn and they'd be sold there almost under the name of Wensleydale. So there is a Dale called Wensleydale as well, but the whole of the Dales often would be enveloped in that. And what we'd lost is we'd lost that individual Dale-style cheeses. And I thought, hang on, there is still a lot of small farms up here milking. We still have a lot of small marginal farming up here. It's quite challenging to farm in the Dales. It's tough terrain. It's tough, too dry on the limestone, too wet off the limestone. You know, it's cold. It's a short growing season. It's quite high up. You get diversity of grasses as a result. And we had a legacy of a lot of small farms, hill farms, still existing because the government supported them, but also because the creamery supported them and only got milk from them. And we thought, hang on, there used to be 2,000 of farmhouse Wensleydale cheesemakers in Wensleydale alone. This is an iconic British cheese. There's none. There's none in the whole of the Dales. Not just in Wensleydale. There's no cheesemakers left in the whole of the Dales. You know, there's no example of a true farmhouse Wensleydale being made. And for me, that's a great shame. This is a British cheese, which is, you know, it's part of the what we call the territorials. It's one of the key territorials. And we didn't have a farm example. So for me, I was really keen to try and encourage as many people to make that style of cheese. And it's a real success story in British cheese because we, you know, for me, there's one producer of Farmhouse Wensleydale left. You know, there's just the Appleby's down in Cheshire. Caerphilly, there's nobody making on a farm with raw milk in Wales. And you go, there's barely a handful of these producers, but in Wensleydale, there was none. And so we were lucky, there was still a lot of small farms. And when they saw us open our cheese shop, a lot of them would come in, you know, and we talked to them. And we were really keen on trying to encourage them to really hold their hand to make their life easy, because it's difficult to make cheese. It's really difficult to make cheese and run a farm and milk. But the price of milk meant that a lot of them were struggling. So when they would come to us, we would go, well, we will help you. We had these old Wensleydale recipes. We had these old Wensleydale pictures. We had contacts with people who make similar cheeses, the likes of the Kirkhams and the Applebys. And also to link them to other cheesemongers. We said, look, when you make your cheese, then, you know, we can link you up with Neil's Yard Dairy and you can, you know, you don't just have to sell to us. So we provide actually a little focus point for them. And we still do. A lot of the Wensleydale makers will visit us, as will other cheesemongers like Neil's Yard Dairy. And we'll collate all the cheeses here and then distribute them from there as separate businesses. So what we wanted to do was provide an outlet, an advice, you know, to really, for me, to encourage so that we could really restart this tradition. And we were very lucky. The first people to stumble in us were Tom and Claire Noblet. They're up in Loonsdale. So they're not in Wensleydale. They're up in a dale called Loonsdale. And they wanted to make a cheese. And they'd had a go making cheese, but it wasn't so good. And they're making a cheddar and a smalder. And so I said, look, we've got an old-fashioned Dales recipe here. Have a go at that. Fellstone was born. And then several years later, Stonebeck came to us, and they were very interesting because they were farming. One of the things about cheesemaking is we like to talk about how cheesemaking's changed, but farming has massively changed. You know, my grandma was farming with a horse. She ploughed her fields with a horse, my grandma. That's only two generations ago. So farming has changed, what we grow has changed, and our breed of cows. And Stonebeck, we're looking at, they're in Nidderdale, so they're a dale which borders Wensdale, and they were looking at diversifying their farm and getting, they're really interesting because they got old traditional breeds to the region as well, and they have traditional hay meadows. So they're kind of a real expression of how farming used to be. And they came to us, and we took them to visit Felstone, and we took them to visit other people, and we helped guide them and set them up with a bit of consultancy advice and help them. I think we made the first batch of cheese with them in Bain-Marie's, in fact, as well. And then they started, and that was fabulous, because now we had non-Wensdale cheesemakers, but, you know, by 2015, we had two. There we go. We started that ball rolling. Then other people started to see it. And Sam and Ben Spence, who were supplying milk at the time through their family farm to the creamery, came and visited us. They came on one of our cheesemaking courses. They got a lot of help from the late, great David Hartley, who was an inspirational figure in Wensdale. He kind of took over from Kit Calvert as a bastion of Wensdale cheese. And they initially diversified their farm. They've moved off it now, and they are in a little village called Wensley. So they are making in Wensdale, and they're making raw milk traditional Wensdale. And so now I can sit here and say on my counter, I've got three farmhouse Wensdales.
Fantastic, Andy. And how have your customers reacted to that? Is that something that's exciting for them? I mean, do you have people coming back and thinking and being reminded perhaps of the cheeses they, if they're older, perhaps they're reminded of cheeses they had, you know, in their childhood?
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the best things is we have a guy called Fred Taylor, and Fred is 95, and he started making cheese in Dent Cheesemaking Factory. Dent, so you may, if you've been on the South Carlisle line, you stopped at Dent, it's the back of beyond, you know. And he started making cheesemaking, and he was working in a cheesemaking factory, and he was receiving milk from eight farms, and these eight farms produced together less milk than Stonebeck, which have only got 20 cows. You know, so it just shows you how times have changed. And he started working at 15 in this little cheesemaking factory, and then continued to make Wensdale from the age of 15 all the way up to he retired when he was 70. You know, and for his 90th birthday, his children bought him to go and spend the day making cheese with Legrams, as it was, because this man had made Wensdale for 55 years, and he'd seen it change from being, you know, a little vat heated by pouring warm water in and not adding any culture to, you know, and he went with the changes. In the end, he was working in West Martindale, which is a big factory. And he came up and he was like, oh, yes, this is how it used to be. This is how I like it, you know, and it was really nice. And I've got an interview with him actually, and it's a really great, you know, we saw people like him who actually made Wensdale were like, yeah, this is it. This is what it was. This is how Wensdale was, you know, it's softer, it was moister. The problem with the softer, moister cheese is they don't keep as well when they're cut. You know, they are more difficult to handle, you know, but you get those fresh, light flavors from Wensdale, but you also get a creamy, a butteriness, a yogurtiness, an incredible depth of complexity at the back of them. It's really exciting because one of the great things when you come into our shop is people don't go, do you do Wensdale? We go, yeah. We go, no, we do three. Taste all three. They're made about 20 miles apart. They're following the same recipe. They're aging for the same time. They're made in the same region, but they're reflections of that place. And for me, as a non-city centre cheese shop, that's what us rural cheese shops should be doing. You know, when you go to a cheese shop, a rural cheese shop in a, you know, in the Savoie, you'll taste six different Tom de Savoies. You know, you might not find a Brie de Meaux, but that's fine. I'm not in the Brie region, you know. But in the city centre cheese shops in Lyon and Paris, you'd expect a range of the complete range of cheeses, but only one example. Whereas cheesemongers like me, I should be just like, this is my region. This is our regional cheese. Let me show you a reflection of that in three cheeses.
Well, you're absolutely right, Andy, because I go, my English dad lives in Tuscany because we work there. And when I go and see him, I can go up the road to a Pecorino, which has got, you know, I don't know, like eight different Pecorinos, which is the local, it's a sheep, it's a Tuscan sheep cheese, but different ages. And that's it. And they don't have other cheeses. They got Pecorino because that's where you are. You're in Tuscany and, you know, and it's their local cheese. The farmers who took up this challenge in a way to diversify and make cheese, has it been rewarding for them? And I mean, I'm guessing it's, I suppose what I was thinking is, what were their motivations? Was it financial to diversify and make more money for their milk?
Initially, I mean, Ben and Felstone, exactly that, weren't selling milk for profit. How do you keep a family farm going? diversify. So that's initially for them. For Stonebeck, it was a question of keeping their farm alive. So without cheese, they would not exist. It's that simple. And so, again, you could maybe say diversification, but they couldn't have sold liquid milk. They're so rural, they're so remote, they make so little milk that they are basically sheep farmers or beef and cattle farmers. And if they're going to milk animals because they're at the top of a hill, then from that land, it's never going to work. But it can work if you make cheese because you add value. So for them, it was a question of it's the whole focus of their farm. So it's slightly different for them. But yeah, a lot of it was diversification, low price of milk. Small little family farms, it's difficult to make a profit. There's a lot of small family farms still in the Dale. But for me, it's, you know, it's been great to see this resurgence of Farmhouse Wensdale come through.
Yeah, it must be very satisfying. And what, so looking forward, Andy, what would you like to see? I mean, in fact, I was thinking, you know, you're always told that when you read about the history of Wensdale, that initially it would have been a sheep's milk cheese. And I'm guessing, I mean, you know, I don't think there isn't a sheep's milk Wensdale as such, is there? Do you?
There is, I mean, there's people making bits and pieces, and there's people who claim, it's always the story, isn't it? You know, how do you define tradition? This is a really interesting story. You could do a whole podcast on this.
Yep.
So if we taste out Stonebeck Wensdale to people who like vacuum made Wensdale, they go, that's not Wensdale. Because tradition to them is different. But you taste it out to that 95-year-old man, he goes, oh, yes, that's how it used to be. You taste it out 100 years ago, it would have been much more softer, but much more cracks, much more bluing in it. 300 years ago, it would have been a sheep's milk cheese. So there's people at the moment who maybe make with sheep's milk, but they maybe use commercial methods. So for me, what would be amazing next step, there's a few next steps that I would like to see. I would like to see a true sheep's milk Wensdale made in the Dale with old-fashioned methods, old-fashioned cultures, traditional cloth binding. We are in the process of putting together a really advanced course. You'll be the first to hear about it here, Jenny. This is exclusive, where we are going to make these three Wensdales, Sam's recipe, Ben's recipe, Claire's recipe, alongside each other in our dairy, using their expertise day after day, 3 days on the trot. And then 6 weeks later, we're going to get together and explore the differences that they've evolved in their recipe and how it makes a difference to their cheese and open those discussions about how we tweak and further improve Wensdale. Really as a kind of a technical, it's for a technical depth of let's try and continue to improve Wensdale and establish what Wensdale is so that if we do lose a cheesemaker again, like you always can, then we have this much stronger base from which to rebuild.
What
you
a
know,
great idea, Andy. I mean, it's a theme that comes out when you talk about the British cheese scene is knowledge and loss of knowledge and how it needs to be passed on. And and how important. I mean, it's something you talk about very eloquently, actually, and that experience. It's very exciting, the British cheese scene, but there's a lot of fragility in it too. I don't think people realise how, when you were saying this, you know, one of, if you want to maintain these old historic cheeses and you want them still to exist, but actually they're not being made. They're not made in by lots and lots of different people. Perhaps just, you know, one family are carrying on. And if something happens, you know, for whatever reason to that family, that will go. And we need to, it's just great to spread knowledge, basically.
Yeah, so, for me, this next step we were going to try, I'd like to try and get a sheep's milk cheesemaker. I'd like to have another Wensdale cheesemaker this side of the Dale as well. I'd like to find some way of keeping Cotherstone alive. The Cotherstone's a Dale's cheese.
Beautiful. I've got fond memories of that, yes.
Yeah, well, Joan has retired this year and she's up. It's what we would consider it a Dale's cheese. And but she's right at the top of it. She's Teesdale, technically. She's Barnard Castle. She's right on the edge going up towards Durham. But it's a Dale's cheese. So I'd like to find a way of keeping that alive now she's gone and not losing her knowledge. And so we're going to try and build. We've got a lot of plans. So number one is this technical support, so we can build almost like a portfolio. So that say you never know what's going to happen, but say two cheesemakers give up, we have. When we restarted this Wensdale cheesemaking, one of the most difficult things was to understand how Wensdale used to be made because they're very difficult to get knowledge. Talking to people who are 90 years old, we're talking looking at pictures from the 30s and 40s, looking at recipes, and that's very difficult to piece it together. And we spent 5 years building that knowledge up as our business, Neil's Yard Dairy, and these three Wensdale cheesemakers. And I don't want to lose that. So we're going to try and get that documented as part of this technical series that we're going to run, really trying to document the history of Wensdale and also how these recipes are made now and how little tweaks make a difference. We've also, for me, a lovely step would be to look at milking traditional breeds native to the Dales, things like Wensdale breed sheep and getting more strength in the Derby Shorthorn and Northern Shorthorn breed. That's a long-term project. So that's all those things are trying to move them forward.
You're a busy man, Andy. What can I say?
But that's where I would like it to go.
Good for you.
Fully behind it. Yeah.
That's brilliant. Well, that's really, it's such a fascinating story. And it's, it really is an up and down, the drama in a way of, how often Wensleydale was nearly lost. And it is very exciting to be here with Farmhouse Wensleydale Makers in the Dales again. It's fantastic. So thank you, Andy, for sharing that with us. That was great.
No, my pleasure.
Take care. Thanks, Andy.
You
bye.
Too. Bye.
Online, on smart speakers, and on Listen Again. This is Food FM.
You're listening to A Slice of Cheese with Jenny Linford on Food FM. Savour the crunch of Peter's Yard sourdough crackers. Available at Tesco, Waitrose, Sainsbury's, Asda, Morrison's, Ocado, Amazon and specialist food retailers.
We're looking at the story of a particular and interesting British cheese, Wensleydale cheese. I'm very happy to have with me to discuss it David Lockwood, partner Neil's Yard Dairy. Good morning, David.
Hello, Jenny. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. This was a story I wanted to look at because, Wensleydale cheese, I think, thanks to Wallace and Gromit, it's become rather more famous and well-known than it was. But it's an interesting, as a cheese, it's had quite a tough history, I think, hasn't it? And I'm just, that's something you would know through your involvement at Neil's Yard Dairy, and you've been such a figure in the British cheese scene. I wonder perhaps you could take me back in time to the early days of Neil's Yard Dairy. Was Wensleydale cheese one of the cheeses you were selling at the dairy?
So when I started in 91, the only Wensleydales that I knew of were from Hawes. And it was around the time of the management buyout there. So it was a Dairy Crest factory and it was big. They worked with open vats. So it was still very much a handmade cheese.
They did that management buyout, to save Wensleydale cheese. That was the only maker of Wensleydale in Wensleydale, basically. Is that right?
Yeah. That I know of. I don't know for sure at that time, but to the best of my knowledge, they were certainly the leading maker of Wensleydale in Wensleydale. Other bigger factories were making cheeses for supermarkets that were called Wensleydale, but Hawes was the production site that was best known for it being in Wensleydale. They did it. There were a lot of, for a number of reasons, there were a lot of jobs at risk in the production facility itself. But they also were committed to working with farmers in the Dale. They had a thing where all their milk came from a 19-mile radius for ages and ages. I can't speak to what they're doing now because it's been sold again. And we haven't been buying that particular cheese for a while. It was a larger production site. Neil's Yard Dairy, we did take some, but not an awful lot because it was still a fairly acid, less representative giving of flavor. It was nice. But then in the late 90s, we started working with David Hartley and Norman, who handled all the tasting and oversaw a lot of the, worked with the production side quite a bit to produce a cheese that was more representative of the milk and the work that they put into it. Maybe a little more difficult to slice on a cutting line, but going to deliver a lot more flavor to the consumer. That went down quite well. People were absolutely receptive to it.
That's right. Really interesting. I imagine it had its own challenges for them. So yeah,
it did, but it was pretty amazing. And the fact that they were working with open vats in a sequential order. So they had these big vats, but each one was looked after with care. Not that what they're doing now isn't with care, but you could get focus individual attention on a vat of cheese. And they would make cheese to this recipe, working with us for the flavor and texture profile. And we did quite well with it for a number of years. But over time, as they grew, the production system changed. They moved to closed vat systems and it was more difficult to achieve the type of cheese that we were looking for. We'd always spoken with them about maybe, you know, even working with one of their farmers to go off their big site and make a small, more classic raw milk Wensleydale, because there did used to be a lot of Wensleydale made all over, up and down the Vale. And that never came to fruition for us. There was a producer, the old Roan, who worked a bit with them, but that evolved, and we could come to that. But over time, what we found happened was the style of cheese that we'd asked them to make became quite popular. And so they said, can we sell this to other folk? And we said, absolutely, because we're just looking for the market to grow, because that means there's opportunity. The downside of that was this wasn't an easy to cut cheese on a packing line. And so they modified it so that it was easier to cut, but it was less interesting to us. So we went a long period of time where there was no Wensleydale on our counter.
You know, in the history of British cheese, you know, Wensleydale, the story that's told about Wensleydale is that it, you know, it traces its origins back to the Cistercian monks who came over with William the Conqueror, and he settled in the Dales and their monasteries. They had a lot of food knowledge, the monks. They had these, you know, a lot of people to feed apart from anything else. And they, if you look at the history of food, monks and monasteries play a big part in sustaining food knowledge and promoting it. So this is a very sort of romantic, long story of Wensleydale cheese being made in Wensleydale in Yorkshire. And it's, I can see that you would want it, and Neil's Yard Dairy, where you've always championed British cheeses, it's a cheese you would have wanted to support, isn't it, and wanted to have on your counter.
Yes. And just to expand your retelling of the history a little bit more, you know, it started as a sheep's milk cheese, and it was blue as well. And so the whole blue Wensleydale thing, that's nothing new. It's the way it was. But yeah, we do want it and did want it. And what seems to have happened, and I have to give Andy and Kathy Swinsko at Courtyard Dairy a tremendous amount of credit for this, was that farmers started coming into, you know, milk producing farmers started coming more and more to the market as the milk price started dropping more and more. And well, the first ones that we encountered were, there were the Hattons, Andrew and Sally, who make the Stoneback, and then Claire and Tom Noblet, who make the Win Yates. And later we met Ben and Sam Spence, who make the Curlew Dairy. They do Curlew Dairy, Yordale. And they're all small farmers looking to make a cheese that would be what was made where their farms were a lot for a long time. And they've all come to it through different paths. But it's quite amazing, because you have three really, really delicious cheeses. They're all Wensleydales, no doubt. They're all based on Wensleydale recipes that are older. They're very different to the cheese that is made up in Haws right now, but they're all wonderful, and it's an amazing thing to have all three on our counter.
It's really interesting because, you know, as you know, David, I'm a regular, you know, Neil's Yard Dairy is the cheese shop that sort of opened my eyes to the world of cheese, and getting to know Randolph over the years through my writing encouraged me to learn about it. And I remember that, you know, that sort of, so I remember seeing Wensleydale on your counter, and then I remember not seeing it for a long time. And then it's sort of amazing to see, it was really exciting to see these farmhouse Wensleydales appear. And I bought some of the Stonebeck. I bought some the other day, and it's utterly delicious, you know, in that really beautiful, in a very English way, I think. The texture, the flavour, it's sort of, it's that style of cheese. It was just a real pleasure to eat it.
Moorish. It defines, it is the definition of Moorish.
It is, because it's very easy to eat, which is actually also what I always find with Graham's Lancashire cheese. Even though it's a gentle cheese, there's subtlety to it, I suppose, and then you eat a bit. And it's so sort of pleasurable that you then put your hand back out and take another bit. You know, it's one of those cheeses. You just get back and I just have a little bit more. And very beguiling.
Absolutely.
So how are they going down in your shops, these cheeses, Dave? Are your customers, New Zealand Dairy customers, receptive to them?
Yes, absolutely, on all three of them. It's very interesting to watch, because when you have three cheeses where there were none 5 years ago, you're not fighting with perception. When I began at Neil's Yard Dairy, everyone walked in and asked for Keen's cheddar. And that was the cheddar to buy. And for the last 25 years, call it 20, 25 years, it's been Montgomery's cheddar. And it doesn't matter what the other ones are tasting like. It's very much that is the customer's go-to. And, you know, it's our job behind the counter to get people to taste different cheeses. With the Wensleydales, we don't have that. We have three distinct cheeses that people are open to. For me, it's the most fun at Christmas. So this year at Christmas, the one that sold the best was the Stonebeck. And, you know, this is not an inexpensive cheese. It's close to 60 pounds a kilo on the counter. And yet it was the best seller of the three this year. The other two are not inexpensive either, but not, this is, you know, it's a different league. And so it's flavor. People are buying flavor and texture. It's that eating experience. And because there's not this long history and all this, oh, well, this is the, you know, this, I'll always have this one. People are open to tasting. And when you have three different things to taste, when people are expecting, you know, a more acid, firm cheese that's very direct, and you give them three very different flavor and texture profiles, they're blown away by it. I always, every year, make a point of sampling out cheese on the queue at Christmas. And my favorite ones to sample out for the past 3 years have been the Wensleydales, because I could, it doesn't matter which one I have. I say, okay, you've tried one, but we have two more inside. And the counter crew is always really excited to do that, because you watch people's faces and they're absolutely, you know, blown away by the fact that there are three cheeses, all three made with good recipes from, you know, 100 years ago, but, you know, in a modern setup, that turn out all quite differently, but all very delicious.
Fascinating, isn't it? I mean, that sort of reminds me, it's interesting, isn't it? I remember this sort of game coming to a shop years ago and trying your cheddars. I think it must have been when I was working on the Great British Cheese Book. I've been really struck how those three Somerset cheddars that were in the Slayford Presidium that on paper are made the same, you know, with certain broad sort of definitions of the milk they're using, the rennet, you know, that the making, the maturing, and yet how different they tasted. You know, it's sort of fascinating, because I think that is this wonderful thing, isn't it, about cheese, that the makers, yeah.
It is, and we have different... Yeah. Opinions, even behind the counter, of what people like and don't like, and that's what makes it fun and good. It's like if they're all the same, we wouldn't need three of them.
I mean, all these years you've spent, you know, working at Neil's Yard Dairy, and you've seen, I mean, you must have seen a rise of interest in British cheese, because Neil's Yard Dairy has certainly been played such a huge part in helping create and support that interest. And obviously a lot of hard work and a lot of, you know, pressures and COVID and all the stresses that brought. But something like this story that, you know, which is a feel-good story, isn't it? That must make you happy, I suppose.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I have the privilege of going every month to select these cheeses and to watch the development of these producers, these three producers. The fact that they all started out at a similar time kind of bound them together. They're friends. If one has a question, there's no hesitation to call, or there's actually a WhatsApp group that I'm on where they ask each other questions about stuff. Because there's so much market out there, it's in all of their interest to, they do like each other, but even if they were on each other, they're incentivized to work together and build the market. It is there for the taking. In terms of overall British cheese, it's a funny one. It hasn't built as much as I would love to see it. These are my favorite cheeses in the world. The British style of cheese. That should not come as a surprise, given that I am a partner at Neil's Yard Dairy. But the way people eat cheese now is very different to when I started in 1991. In 91, people would come in week after week and ask for a pound of the same cheese. I want a pound. In modern parlance, 500 grams of Duckett's Caerphilly, of Kirkham's Lancashire, of Appleby's Cheshire, week after week after week. And it has changed. Now there are people come in and they ask for little bits for a cheese board. And they want to serve a lot of different small bits. And it's not eaten just as it's here. We eat it for lunch, for whatever. And I'd love to see movement back to that way of thinking about cheese. It is a food, a protein that you're going to have as in one of your meals. I also concerns in my life. I know I don't want to sound negative because I am so positive about so much, but concerns or opportunities, we could even call it, because it is an opportunity to change the market. For years and years and years, people would go into the, you know, a shop, could be a big supermarket, it could even be a small corner shop, whatever, and pick a pre-packed cut of, you insert your name here, Cheshire, Lancashire, Caerphilly, Wensleydale. And they're just firm, acid, not terribly interesting cheeses that were made to be cheap. To be fair, that's what the market was asking for. And so when people come in the shop and you offer them Lancashire or Cheshire or Wensleydale, a little less so because it's so new to our shop, but they're reluctant. They think back on what it was. And even if they're open to it, it's such a different flavor profile to what many people have grown up with now. They've grown up with the continental style of cheese making on hard cheeses, Alpine or Gouda style. So very sweet, very forward, very in your face, not acid or sour at all. Whereas when you get into the historically accurate. Andrew Hatton, who makes the Stonebeck, hates the word traditional, and he's poisoned me with that as well. You know, because what is traditional? Is traditional, you know, the cheese in the plastic wrap now, because that's what's been around for 50 years. Anyway, for the, you know, those old school cheeses, really different. They're much more like an ale. They've got the sourness, they're crumbly. You have to work at it. You have to chew them to bring out the flavor. Yet it's amazing when it gets there, you know, and that's part of the wonder of it all. But, you know, that's our job as cheesemongers, is not just to get it in people's mouths, and not a thin slice, but, you know, a cube of it that you could actually chew, or a thicker chunk to bring out that flavor. That's our job. And then we'll leave it with the people to decide whether or not they want to buy it. But if we could just get it in their mouths in a good way, then we win. At Christmas this year, I was sampling it out, and I'd give people a taste of, well, I was doing a fair bit of the three Wensleydales. And I was like, okay, just chew it. And they're like, okay, okay. I'm like, okay, now if I had a glass of cider to give you right now, that would be the perfect pairing. And they're like, oh yeah. Well, think about it for going forward. And guiding people on how to go, how to get there is really vital. And if we don't do that, we won't build the market. And we need the market for people to stay cheesemaking, because they need to, you know, it needs to be economically sound. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. That's fascinating, David. Well, listen, thank you so much for your time. It was such a pleasure to talk to you. So thank you, David.
Thank you very much, Jenny, for thinking of calling me up about this. I love Wensleydale and I love talking about it.
Brilliant. It was great to talk to you. Thank you, David. Take care.
Right. Bye-bye.
I'm a huge fan of Peter's Yard's sourdough crackers, and they go beautifully with cheese. All Peter's Yard crackers are made in small batches using quality natural ingredients and their sourdough starter, slowly fermented for 16 hours for award-winning flavour and crunch.
Online, on smart speakers, and on Listen Again. This is Food FM.
You're listening to A Slice of Cheese with Jenny Linford on Food FM. Savour the crunch of Peter's Yard sourdough crackers. Available at Tesco, Waitrose, Sainsbury's, Asda, Morrison's, Ocado, Amazon, and specialist food retailers.
This week on A Slice of Cheese, we're looking at Wensleydale. And I'm very happy to have with me a Wensleydale cheesemaker, Ben Spence of the Curlew Dairy. Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Ben, thank you for taking time. And like, so tell me your story, Ben, because it's a really interesting one of someone, well, were you trying to save your family farm? Is that the reason why you sort of went down the cheesemaking road?
Yeah, it's kind of a very long, convoluted story how we got into cheesemaking. I think is always the way with these kind of vocational kind of occupations. It's me and my wife, we trained as accountants and actuaries. We met at PricewaterhouseCoopers in Manchester. I'd always grown up on a family farm in Aysgarth in Wensleydale, so I kind of knew how kind of undervalued milk as a commodity was. And, you know, as me and Samantha got closer, we decided actually to get married and have a family. We didn't want to raise children in the city and thought, actually, well, let's go back and try and do something that I kind of always wanted to do as a kid, which was add value to milk. And so we moved back to the family farm initially and had a little bit of a go at making Wensleydale cheese. And yeah, sadly things didn't quite work out on the family farm, but we were very passionate to kind of continue what we'd learned, continue the network of people that we'd gained. And about 18 months after making on the family farm, we found a little premises, and we now continue to make our cheese in a converted garage in a house in the village of Wensley. So yeah, that's kind of how we got into it.
Yes, I think we need to unpick some things there. So in fact, I mean, you know, because obviously, as you full well know, making cheese is not easy. And how did you go around getting advice or getting guidance or understanding what to do?
Yeah, so at the time, and it's something that I'll emphasise a lot throughout this kind of interview, is that just the community of people in the cheesemaking world are fantastic. So when we were at the family farm, our milk buyer at the time was the Wensleydale Creamery, and the late David Hartley, who used to run the Wensleydale Creamery, was kind of the head of things there. So we rang him up and said, oh, we're thinking of, you know, diversifying a little on the family farm. Are you okay if we sell a little bit of milk out of contract, initially just through a vending machine? And he said, not only was he okay with the vending machine, but had we thought about making unpasteurised Wensleydale cheese? And I was like, well, David, I didn't really think cheese would be a good idea. I didn't think you'd be too happy if I was doing that. But it was kind of the complete opposite. And I think at the time, his passion was having a unpasteurised cheese maker in Wensleydale, making Wensleydale. So initially, them guys gave us a big help. They came and made the first batches of Wensleydale cheese with us. So there's Richard Clark and David. And it was lovely. Obviously, then sadly, COVID happened and things on the family farm kind of broke down, which kind of led us to the garage. And then obviously since then, we've had help from the Courtyard Dairy. Andy Swinscoe has been absolutely amazing at kind of giving us an outlet for our product. David Lockwood at Neil's Yard and Bronwyn Percival have both been up on numerous occasions and given us lots of advice on how to improve the recipe. And yeah, so it's been a real steep learning curve over the last 3 years. But yeah, it's that network of people in the industry that really kind of helps keep us going. So.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Yes, I mean, it seems it's one of the reasons why I'm very fond of the British cheese world, is, you know, it's full of really wonderful people as far as I can see. I'm always fascinated actually by the level of sort of support and that's given. There's a generosity of spirit to it, I think. So obviously, you've got the way the cheese making bug then. You and your wife have set up in your, I think you call it a micro dairy. And so you've got to source the milk? You know, because if you are making a raw milk cheese, then obviously it has to be from a source you really trust. So tell us that can be quite hard. And that's often an issue for new cheesemakers, is getting their hands on good milk that's good for cheesemaking.
Yeah.
How did you go about that?
So obviously one of the things that we do have in Wensleydale is, and I think it's probably through the Wensleydale Creamery support for smaller farms, is quite a plethora of much smaller than your average farmsteads throughout the Dale. The one that we've chosen, they were already vending unpasteurised milk through a vending machine, so we knew the kind of milk quality would be there. And they've been doing that for quite a long time, and they've got kind of the good kind of history that they needed with their EHO and things. So we approached them guys, and they were very happy to sell their milk to us for the cheesemaking. And it seems to have just worked really well. It's one of those kind of things that...
And why were you so interested in having making a raw milk, Wensleydale, Ben? What was your thinking there?
So obviously there's a huge amount of benefit for the quality of the cheese if we can maintain the unpasteurised milk. So obviously the seasonality of the milk itself is then reflected in the cheese that we make. So a lot of people think, you know, pasteurisation, all that gets rid of all the bad bacteria, and that's a good thing. But what it also does is it gets rid of all the good bacteria in the milk as well. And that's not allowed to come through in the final product. So for us, having that unpasteurised milk was immensely important, because the farm that we've got our milk from, they have the summer turnout. So you get that lovely seasonality of the cheese between the winter months and the summer months. And that's just something that would be completely lost were we to pasteurise the milk and standardise it. So we really like working with the unpasteurised milk, I think it's something that's truly reflected in the quality of our cheese.
Well, in fact, we should talk about your cheese, which I've tried, it's a lovely cheese. I mean, it's very exciting for me as someone who's very fond of British cheese to go in and actually have the chance to eat a raw milk. Wensleydale is fascinating. So it's a cheese called Yourdale, and it was very exciting for me when I actually saw it on a counter at Neil's Yard Dairy and got to try a raw milk Wensleydale for the first time ever. It was pretty exciting. So tell me how you make it.
Yeah, so the history of Wensleydale cheese making is long. And, you know, pre-war, there'd been hundreds of people making Wensleydale cheese on farm throughout the Dale. And around the wartime, all of that kind of history was lost. And Wensleydale Creamery did a great job, you know, keeping Wensleydale cheese and its name on the map. But perhaps what they didn't do was kind of keep with the traditional methods of cheese making so much. So, you know, we make our recipe. It's a much slower make than is typically made with the crumblier Wensleydale that you may be accustomed to. So it's a much more akin to the farmhouse Wensleydale that perhaps would have been made pre-war, you know, on the farmstead. So it's a much more smooth, much more buttery kind of texture to our Wensleydale. We make them in the traditional kind of 7.5 kilo hoops that were made on farm. We age it on maturing boards that are made of wood, and we wrap in cloth. And we allow the cheese to mould ripen over kind of 2 or 3 months. So it's kind of as traditional as we kind of can be within, I guess, the constraints of modern health and safety. So.
Lovely. You know, it must be so exciting to actually put all this hard work into making something, and then it goes out into the world, and presumably people like it. And I mean, is that a rewarding experience for you?
Yes. No, it's great that people get to taste the product, and it's always good when you get feedback from people who really enjoy it and perhaps think of it a little more akin to the Wensleydale that they may used to remember from when they were kids. So, yeah, no, it's nice.
Lovely. I mean, I went to university at York, so I had Wensleydale with fruitcake, which, as someone who was from London, I was like, cheese with cake? It's like, what's this strange thing? But then it was really delicious. It's a lovely pairing. Did you must have eaten Wensleydale as a child then? I mean, yourself, it was a family cheese, presumably, that was eaten on your farm.
Yes, but obviously we never made it on the farm growing up. It was always, we'll go to the Wensleydale Creamery, and what we'd get back was what was made at a horse. But yeah, no, certainly always paired with fruitcake. It's kind of the Yorkshire way, I suppose. So
yes.
It's a really good pairing. Excitingly, you're not the only farmhouse cheesemaker in Wensleydale. Perhaps you could tell us about you're all relatively new cheesemakers. Yeah. Is it a sort of partnership in a way that you're sharing knowledge with each other?
Yeah, no, it most certainly is. And it's great to almost have colleagues within the industry making a very similar style of cheese. So in Nidderdale, there's the Hattons, and they make a cheese called Stonebeck. That's a seasonal cheese. So they have their own herd. They only calve and milk throughout the summer months. So they're only making cheese 6 to 8 months of the year. But that's, you know, a lovely seasonal cheese. Their farm's quite a high hill farm. They're short on cows predominantly. And yeah, it's a really unique cheese that's obviously really reflects their farm. The other cheesemakers are the Noblets, and they make a cheese called Fellstone, which again is a very kind of similar in recipe, but obviously very different in actual flavour and texture of cheese. They have their own herd, and they make kind of towards the Lake District. So the kind of three of us all making to a very similar recipe, but ultimately making, if you were to try the three together, quite different cheeses. But yeah, I guess that's just the nature of unpasteurised milk and the cheese, the type of cheese making that we do. So
it's actually really fascinating. A lot of cheese making is homogenised, which of course is, that's how it is. It reaches certain standards and flavour and profile, and it doesn't change. And then when you get into the world of farmhouse cheese and raw milk cheese, cheese will change. And this is what's fascinating, exactly as you said. It's like if I tried the three, Neal's Yard Dairy used to sell three farmhouse cheddars, and you could try them side by side. And on paper, they would have been identical because they were raw milk cheddars and made in the same way and aged for the same time and all the things. And yet they tasted different. And that's really exciting, I think. It's one of the joys of good cheese, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's such fun exploring it.
No, well, that's it, yeah. And it just goes back to, I guess, the terroir of the farm and just, you know, that even, you know, things as small as kind of what you feed the cows and, you know, how long they've been at grass and all these kind of things have an impact on the split of butterfat and protein in the milk and ultimately the flavour of the cheese, which is just something that's entirely lost when the cheese is pasteurised and standardised. So
it's quite a life change because, you know, for what you and your wife did, has it been, you know, is it something you found, has it been a rewarding decision to, you know, I mean, it sounds like it's been, you know, a lot of hard work in that too, but there must be equally some, you know, some rewarding bits of it then.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you've got to kind of have that vision at the other side for sure, because there's obviously when we started this journey, we also started our family as well. So we've had three small children throughout the kind of
you've been so busy.
Yeah, no, really, really rewarding, and it's nice. You know, we always said when we moved back that, you know, we wanted to have a kind of a work life balance that fit around the children. So running your own business and cheese making in particular, the cheese making day is always structured so that I can have breakfast with the kids and then pick them up at school at the end of the day. So, you know, I'll start at 5 a.m. Milk will go in the vat, and while the cheese is setting, you know, that's kind of breakfast time. And with starting at 5 o'clock, I'm generally done by 3. So, you know, you're kind of done to do the school run at the end of the day as well. And that's just something that I would never have been able to do in the accountancy profession. So,
yes, it's very true. No, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? There are these benefits, you know, when you change your life. I mean, it's funny because I've been freelance writer for years, and actually what it gives the biggest luxury it gives me is my time, you know, into the way that I can structure my own time. And when my son's grown up now, but exactly that, I always, you know, was able to, you know, walk with him to school when he was at primary school, go and meet him, be with him, you know. I mean, is it something, because, you know, you're a fledgling cheese business, is it still something that, you know, when I talk to cheesemakers, they always seem so interested in their cheese making, you know, I think because it's such hard work, isn't it? But it seems to, the fact that actually it's quite difficult to do well seems to keep them going, because it's always, however many years they've been doing it, they just seem to be really into it. Do you feel that happening with you, that, you know, are you on a quest to sort of tweak the recipe and to try different makes, or wondering why that happened? I mean, is it a constant ongoing process?
I think if you're not trying to improve the recipe all the time, then you're in the wrong industry with that. So yeah, no, it certainly is. And, you know, the last kind of couple of years in particular have been a real learning curve, and it's been great to go and make cheese with some of the, you know, the well-established cheese makers, Lincolnshire Portshire, Kirkham's Lancashire. You know, it's been great to go and make cheese with them guys. And, you know, they all have different makes and they all have different cheeses, but there's always something that you can bring home to your make that will improve things, make things easier in the dairy, just things that you just haven't thought of. So, always looking for ways to improve, always looking for ways to kind of, improve that flavour of the end product. So.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, you know, congratulations. And it's just very exciting to have your cheese and the other Dale's cheeses, you know, on the counter. It's a treat, actually. Presumably, you know, you think people must be pleased in Yorkshire to have this traditional cheese in being made, you know, in a wider way, I suppose, with, you know, with raw milk versions of it available.
Yeah, no, I'd like to think so. And I think, you know, it's as I alluded to before, there's quite a few people who come up to you and say, you know, it's nice to have Wensdale as Wensdale used to be, as I remember Wensdale being. So, you know, yeah, that part of it is, yeah, never gets old. So.
Good. Brilliant. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. Much appreciated, Ben. Take care then. Thank you.
Thank you.
To find out more about Food FM and our content, go to foodfmradio.com.
Thank you so much for listening to A Slice of Cheese. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you have enjoyed it, it would be lovely if you could rate us on wherever you've found this podcast. It will make such a difference to us. So I hope you'll enjoy us again. Thank you very much.